So what we're talking about at this time is we're talking about mobilizing church members.
Tātad tagad mēs runāsim par draudzes locekļu mobilizēšanu.
And so if some of you say, well, I don't have church members to mobilize because I'm not the pastor or I'm not the leader.
Un kāds no jums varētu teikt, ka man nav draudzes locekļu, ko mobilizēt, jo es neesmu ne vadītājs, ne mācītājs.
What we talked about in our last session is that we are to build teams of people to do ministry with.
Bet iepriekšējā seminārā mēs runājam, ka mēs varam atrast cilvēkus, ar kuriem kopā kalpot.
And so after you have a team that you're working with, you need to have them do something.
Un kad jūs iegūstat komandu, jums ir jāizdomā, ko ar viņiem darīt.
And so this isn't necessarily connected to the last one, but there definitely are principles that connect.
Ne visi šeit būs savienoti ar iepriekšējo semināru, bet noteikti ir principi, kas pārklājas.
I know many of you that if you are pastors or administrators, you probably have looked at your members.
Un ja kāds no jums ir mācītājs, tad jūs noteikti esat skatījušies uz saviem draudzes locekļiem.
And you said, what's wrong with these members?
Jūs domājuši, kas ar viņiem vainas?
Why aren't they doing evangelism?
Kāpēc viņi neevangelizē?
Why aren't they excited about sharing their faith?
Kāpēc viņi nav aizrautībā gatavi dalīties savā ticībā?
And it's easy to get frustrated that nothing seems to be happening.
Un ir viegli kļūt nokaitinātam, kad šķiet, ka nekas nenotiek.
Or even as a member, you begin to look at other members and saying, why aren't they doing as much as I am?
Un jūs kā draudzes loceklis arī varat paskatīties apkārt un domāt, kāpēc viņi nedara tik pat daudz, cik es?
And so this is the significance of what we're talking about, mobilizing members for the work of ministry or for evangelism.
Un tāpēc mēs tagad runājam par locekļu mobilizēšanu evangelizācijai.
And I want you to see that this is a biblical concept.
Un es vēlos, lai jūs saprotat, ka šis ir biblisks koncepts.
So if you have your Bibles open to Ephesians chapter 4.
Ja jums ir līdz Bībeles, atvērsim Efeziešu 4. Nodaļu.
And we're going to be looking at verses 11 and 12.
Un mēs lasīsim 11. un 12. pantu.
And I know this is a passage that you have seen before, that you have read before.
Un šī ir rakstvieta, ko jūs noteikti esat iepriekš redzējuši un lasījuši.
But maybe you haven't spent much time looking at the significance of what it says.
Bet varbūt jūs neesat īpaši pievērsuši uzmanību tā nozīmīgumam.
And there's two parts that I want to focus on.
Šeit ir divas vietas, uz kurām es vēlētos koncentrēties.
One is underlined and one comes before it.
Viena ir pasvītrota un...
It's underlined on the screen.
Viena ir pasvītrota uz ekrāna, un otra ir pirms tam.
So we'll talk about it together.
Tāpēc mēs tad to parunāsim.
So looking at Ephesians chapter 4, and again, it's interesting before we even go there.
Tātad Efeziešiem 4. Nodaļa.
This whole chapter is talking about unity inside of the body of Christ.
Un visa šī nodaļa runā par vienotību Kristus ķermenī.
How many of you think that unity is important?
Cik daudz no jums domā, ka vienotība ir svarīga?
Unity is most important in God's work.
Vienotība ir vissvarīgākā Dieva darbā.
But there's a difference between unity
starp vienotību
and uniformity.
Un būt kā vienotam veselumam.
So you can do things, you can be in unity doing different things.
Jūs varat būt vienoti darot dažādas lietas.
But uniformity would mean that we're all looking the same and we're all doing the same.
Bet būt vienam veselumam nozīmē, ka mēs visi darām vienu un to pašu.
And that's not a biblical concept.
Un tas nav biblisks koncepts.
The biblical concept is that we're working together in unison for the same purpose.
Biblisks koncepts ir, ka mēs visi kopā darbojamies vienam mērķim.
And we can see that illustrated right here very well in verse 11 and 12.
Un to mēs ļoti labi varam redzēt 11. un 12. pantā.
Ephesians chapter 4, 11, as it says, it was he who gave some to be apostles, some to be prophets, some to be evangelists, and some pastors and teachers.
Tātad Efeziešiem 4, 11 teikts, viņš arī devis citus par apustuļiem, citus par praviešiem, citus par evangelistiem, citus par ganiem un mācītājiem.
So right here we can see that God gave different spiritual gifts to different people.
Tātad šeit mēs redzam, ka Dievs dažādiem cilvēkiem deva dažādas garīgās dāvanas.
And very simple way to understand this is that a prophet is someone who speaks on behalf of God.
Un ļoti viegli to var saprast, saprotot, ka pravietis ir kāds, kas runā Dieva vārdus.
They deliver a message from God.
Viņi nodod tālāk ziņu no Dieva.
He gave some to be evangelists.
Dažus viņš darīja par evaņģēlistiem.
Which are those that invite people to into a relationship with God.
Viņi ir tie, kas aicina cilvēkus stāties attiecībās ar Dievu.
Many times as we think of them, they'll preach God's word, but the key to an evangelist is that they ask for decisions.
Un daudzreiz mums liekas, ka tas nozīmē sludināt Dieva vārdu, bet īstenībā mums jāaicina cilvēkus pieņemt lēmumus.
And the last category that it talks about here are pastors who teach.
Un pēdējā kategorija šeit ir mācītāji, kas māca.
And so all of these gifts are very different from each other.
Visas šīs dāvanas ir ļoti dažādas.
But all of them are for the purpose of equipping the saints for the work of ministry.
Bet tās visas aicina apkopot mūsu spējas, lai mēs varētu kalpot.
So the first part of this, which I talked about, is that it's important to know that there's going to be different gifts, it's going to look differently, but we still can be in unity.
Tātad es vēlos runāt par to, ka mēs varam būt ļoti dažādi, bet mēs joprojām varam strādāt kopā.
And the second part is that the purpose of these gifts is for the equipping of the saints for the work of ministry. We're going to say this phrase together many times today.
Un otrkārt,
equipping the saints for the work of ministry.
Mēs aicināsim svētos darboties kalpošanai.
So the purpose of why God gave people these different gifts, these different abilities,
tātad iemesls, kāpēc Dievs deva cilvēkiem šīs dažādās spējas,
is so that they can equip other people. What does equip mean?
Ir, lai viņi varētu aprīkot citus cilvēkus. Ko nozīmē aprīkot?
It means to extend, it means to give, it means to build up.
Tas nozīmē viņus, viņiem ļaut
so the most
augt.
Go ahead.
Yeah, augt un attīstīties.
I apologize. The simplest way to think about this is that you've been given something, it's your job to pass that on to somebody else.
Tātad jūs varat iedomāties, ka jums kaut kas ir dots un jūsu uzdevums ir dot to tālāk.
And what is it that you're supposed to pass on to somebody else?
Un kas jums ir jādod tālāk?
You're supposed to equip the saints for the work of ministry.
Jums ir jāaicina svētie kalpošanas darbam.
So what this means to me is that as a pastor and a teacher, my job is to teach church members how to do ministry.
Tātad mans darbs kā mācītājam ir iemācīt draudzes locekļiem, kā kalpot.
The Bible does not say that he gave some pastors and teachers to do ministry.
Bībelē nav teikts, ka viņš dažiem mācītājiem lika kalpot.
But it says rather so that he can train others how to do ministry.
Bet drīzāk, ka mācītājs var iemācīt citiem, kā kalpot.
So I know many of you are saying, well, I'm not a pastor, so this doesn't apply to me.
Daudz no jums varētu teikt, es neesmu mācītājs, tātad tas uz mani neatiecas.
But the principle behind what this is talking about is that all of us have been given something.
Bet patiesībā es gribu runāt par to, ka katram no mums kaut kas ir dots.
And this is what we can use to build up others around us as well.
Un to mēs varam izmantot, lai palīdzētu citiem mums apkārt augt.
And the reason why God did all of this in his wisdom.
Un iemesls, kāpēc Dievs savā gudrībā to darīja.
Is what Ephesians 4:12 ends with.
Ir tas, ar ko beidzas Efeziešiem 4:12.
It says for the edifying of the body of Christ.
Tur teikts, lai svētos sagatavotu kalpošanas darbam Kristus miesai par stiprinājumu.
And I love this part so much.
Man ļoti patīk šī daļa.
Because edifying simply means to build up, to increase, to make stronger.
Jo tas nozīmē stiprināt, palielināt, padarīt spēcīgāku.
And so if we look at this text backwards, it says, if you want the body of Christ to be built up,
un ja mēs skatāmies uz šo tekstu no beigām uz priekšu, tad mēs varam redzēt, ka ja jūs gribat stiprināt Dieva ķermeni,
the members or the saints must do the work.
Tad svētajiem jādara.
That the prophets, the evangelists and the pastors have taught them how to do.
Darbs, ko viņiem ir iemācījuši pravieši, mācītāji un evaņģēlisti.
And this is one of the things that I found so interesting is that Satan has confused all of this around.
Un šis man likās ļoti interesanti, ka Sātans visu ir tā kā apgriezis otrādi.
And he has many pastors thinking that their job is to do the work of ministry.
Un viņš liek daudziem mācītājiem domāt, ka viņiem ir jādara kalpošanas darbs.
He has many members that say it's not my job to do ministry, it's the pastor's job to do ministry.
Un viņš ir panācis to, ka daudzas locekļi domā, tas nav mans darbs, mācītājiem ir jādara tas darbs.
And they use excuses like, well, they're the one that's paid to do ministry.
Un viņi attaisnojas ar to, ka mācītājiem taču maksā, lai viņi kalpot.
They've gone to school to know how to do this.
Viņi ir mācījušies skolā par to.
I don't have time to do this because I'm working or I'm in school.
Man nav laika to darīt, jo es strādāju un esmu skolā.
But the Bible is very clear that the role of these gifts is to help other people do ministry.
Bet Bībelē ļoti skaidri parāda, ka šo dāvanu loma ir palīdzēt citiem kalpot.
So we have a biblical mandate to mobilize members, to mobilize others for this work of doing ministry.
Tātad mums ir bibliska pavēle mobilizēt citus kalpošanai.
And I spend so much time hitting on this point that I know you already know well.
Un es esmu tik daudz domājis par šo punktu, ko jūs jau labi pazīstat.
Because as I've traveled many other places in the world, I've seen that this is something that is not well understood.
Jo ceļojot apkārt pasaulē, es esmu sapratis, ka šo konceptu nesaprot pārāk daudz cilvēki.
And in fact, I was talking with somebody yesterday.
Un es vēl vakar par to ar kādu runāju.
And they were telling me part of the struggle in this union or this area.
Un viņi teica, ka daļa no problēmām šajā unijā
is that when this area was under communism,
ir tas, kad šeit bija komunisms?
That one of the only ways that a church could be a church if it was allowed to even function as a church,
un vienīgais veids, kā baznīca varēja eksistēt, ja tai vispār to atļāva,
was that it had to have an established pastor. Is this true?
Tai bija jābūt ieceltam mācītājam, vai tā ir?
If there were, I guess there were some that were allowed, maybe it was Russian churches, but they had to have an established pastor over them or else they couldn't function. There would be no such thing as a lay pastor.
Tātad viņiem vajadzēja būt oficiālam mācītājam un nevarēja būt vienkārši kāds, kas runā.
But even long before communism, long before all of these ideas,
bet arī ilgi pirms komunismu un visām šīm idejām,
this is one of the things that the Roman Catholic Church did, is the idea of separation between clergy and laity.
Un to darīja Romas katoļu baznīca, kur viņi nošķīra dažādas draudzes.
So I'm giving you a run for your money today with some of these words, the translation, so good luck. So this idea has gone down through the centuries that there's a distinction, a hierarchy of ministry, right? In the original...
Tātad bija ideja, ka ir hierarhija kalpošanā un baznīcā.
In the original system, all you could do to ask for forgiveness of sins is you had to go and see a priest to forgive you of your sins. You weren't able to do this on your own.
Un orģināli tas bija iekārtots tā, ka, lai iet nožēlot grēkus, mums būtu jāiet pie priestera, nevis mēs varētu to izdarīt paši.
If you wanted to be made right before God, you had to go to the church and pay penance.
Un ja mēs gribējām būt taisni Dievu priekšā, mums jāiet uz baznīcu un jāmaksā nodevas.
And many, many other things. This is overly simplified, but you get the idea.
Un bija vēl daudz citas lietas, bet nu, esmu jums devis ieskatu.
Is that all throughout history there has been this separation between clergy and laity.
Un viss caur vēsturē ir bijis šī nošķirstība starp draudzes ieceltajiem cilvēkiem un parastajiem cilvēkiem.
And while there is a distinction in the Bible between them,
un kaut arī Bībelē ir starpība,
there's not a hierarchy in the Bible between them.
Bībelē nav hierarhijas.
Because we see that there's a distinction that those that are pastoring, those that are evangelists, those that are prophets,
tāpēc mēs redzam, ka tie, kas ir evaņģēlisti, mācītāji un pravieši,
are to train the members to do the work of ministry.
Viņi ir apdāvināti tāpēc, lai viņi apmācītu citus cilvēkus.
But then the Bible is also clear that members that have been trained for the work of ministry,
bet Bībele runā arī par to, ka tie draudzes locekļi, kas ir apmācīti kalpošanai,
are to train others in the same way.
Viņi atkal var mācīt citus tādā pašā veidā.
And part of the reason why this is such a big issue,
un daļa no iemesla, kāpēc šī ir problēma,
is that research shows that less than 10% of pastors have the gift of equipping.
Ir tas, ka tik mazāk nekā 10% mācītāji vispār ir dāvana apmācīt.
Because equipping is actually a spiritual gift.
Jo tā patiesībā ir garīga dāvana.
And so before you look and say, well, my pastor doesn't equip anyone.
Un ja jūs skatāties un sakāt, mans mācītājs nevienu neapmāc.
Most pastors don't have this gift.
Lielākajai daļai no mācītājiem nav šīs dāvanas.
So how do we wrestle with this that everyone is called to do it, but only 10% of people have it?
Bet kā lai mēs tiekam galā ar šo problēmu, kur visi ir aicināti, bet tikai 10% cilvēki ir šī dāvana?
And this is part of the reason why we're here today to learn new ways of doing things.
Un tas ir viens no iemesliem, kāpēc mēs esam šeit, lai iemācītos jaunus veidus, kā darīt lietas.
Improved ways of doing things.
Uzlabotus veidus, kā darīt lietas.
And who better to look at than Jesus himself?
Un kurš gan ir labāks paraugs kā Jēzus?
Because if anyone could do all of ministry himself, it would be Jesus.
Jo ja kāds spētu paveikt visu kalpošanu viens pats, tas būtu tikai un vienīgi Jēzus.
So you know well when Satan came to tempt Jesus in the wilderness.
Kad Sātans nāca kārdināt Jēzu tuksnesī.
He said, "Hey, turn these rocks into bread."
Viņš teica, pārver šos akmeņus par maizi.
Could Jesus have done it?
Vai Jēzus varētu to izdarīt?
He could have.
Viņš būtu varējis to darīt.
He was the son of God, right?
Viņš bija Dieva dēls, vai ne?
He chose not to because he was in his human form and he was surrendering to God's will for his life.
Viņš izvēlējās to nedarīt, jo viņš bija savā cilvēciskajā formā un vēlējās pakļauties Dievam.
And so if Jesus wanted for somehow to convince a whole room of people who he was by some supernatural force, could he do it?
Un ja Jēzus gribētu pārliecināt telpu par cilvēkiem par to, kas viņš ir, vai viņš to varētu izdarīt?
He didn't. He rather chose to use those that he was working with.
Viņš izvēlējās to nedarīt, tāpēc ka viņš gribēja, lai darbojas tie, ar kuriem viņš sadarbojās.
And so what was the process that Jesus took them through?
Un kam cauri mācekļus izved Jēzus?
The transition that we have in scripture is from the call in the beginning of the gospels.
Šī pārmaiņa, ko mēs redzam, ir sākot no aicinājuma.
To the commission at the end of the gospels.
Līdz kalpošanai evaņģēlija beigās.
And one of the things that I love about the word of God.
Un viena no lietām, ko es mīlu Dieva vārdā.
Is that it presents the disciples, it presents the prophets, it presents whoever the Bible is talking about.
Ir, ka tā parāda mācekļus, praviešus un visus citus tēlus.
As human.
Kā cilvēkus.
They had their weaknesses.
Viņiem bija savas vājības.
They had their strengths.
Viņiem bija savas stiprās puses.
They had their challenges.
Viņiem bija izaicinājumi.
They had problems.
Viņiem bija problēmas.
We look at the early disciples and none of us would say, "Oh, that's a perfect group."
Ja mēs aplūkojam agrīnos mācekļus, neviens no mums neteikt, ka viņi gan ir lieliska grupa.
None of us as a leader would say, "Hey, let me bring this team together and this is going to be the perfect people together, the dream team."
Neviens no mums kā līders neteikt, "Hey, sasauksim šos cilvēkus kopā un viņi būs lieliska komanda."
You had criminals in this group?
Šajā grupā bija noziedznieki.
You had those that had dropped out of Torah school in this group. They hadn't finished.
Tur bija cilvēki, kas nebija pabeiguši Bībeles skolu.
You had those that were tax collectors.
Tur bija nodokļu ievācēji.
This is not the team that we would compile today.
Šī nav komanda, ko mēs mūsdienās izvēlētos.
We would look for those that were the most spiritually mature in our churches and we would start with them.
Mēs meklētu tos, kuri ir visgarīgāk norbrieduši mūsu draudzēs un sākt ar viņiem.
But praise God, he takes us where we're at.
Bet Dievs ņem mūs tur, kur mēs atrodamies.
And through his patience he continues to grow us.
Un savā pacietībā turpin mūs audzēt.
And we see this with the disciples because it wasn't on the same day that he called them.
Un mēs to varam novērot ar mācekļiem.
That he gave them the great commission.
Jo tad, kad viņš viņus aicināja, viņš vēl nedeva viņiem lielo uzdevumu.
He tells them when he calls them, "I'm going to make you fishers of men."
Viņš, kad viņš aicina mācekļus, viņš saka, "Es jūs darīšu par cilvēku zvejniekiem."
But it's not until the end when Jesus leaves that he says, "Hey, now go out and do everything that we've been training for up to this point."
Bet viņš mācekļiem liek iet un tiešām kaut ko darīt tikai tad, kad viņš so iet prom beigās.
You know this passage well, Matthew chapter 4 verse 19.
Mateja 4. nodaļa.
Matthew chapter 4 verse 19.
19. pants.
You have your Bibles, you can open it with us.
Jūs varat atvērt savas Bībeles.
If not, you can write these passages down and look them up later.
Ja nē, varat pierakstīt šīs rakstvietas un apskatīt vēlāk.
I want you to see the things that we're talking about today are not my opinion.
Es vēlos, lai jūs saprotat, ka lietas, par ko mēs šodien runājam, nav mans viedoklis.
They're not being pulled out of some new latest book or research.
Un tās nav izvilktas no kādas jaunas grāmatas.
But this is actually the approach that Jesus used with people.
Bet tas ir tas, ko Jēzus darīja.
And I would say he was pretty effective.
Manuprāt, viņš bija diezgan efektīvs.
And I would say this is a good lesson to learn from. So Matthew chapter 4 verse 19.
Mateja 4:19.
Jesus is there walking beside the sea. At the beginning of 18 it says Jesus was walking beside the sea.
Jā, angliskajā versijā rakstīts, ka Jēzus staigāja gar jūru.
And he sees the disciples and he tells them, "Come, follow me."
Un viņš uz mācekļiem saka, "Nāciet man līdzi, es jūs darīšu."
And I will make you fishers of men.
Un es jūs darīšu par cilvēku zvejniekiem.
You see the amazing thing about this process that the disciples went through.
Abrīnojamā lieta šajā procesā, caur kuru izgāja mācekļi.
Is the same thing that Jesus went through.
Ir tas pats, kam Jēzus izgāja cauri.
When Jesus was a young boy,
kad Jēzus bija mazs zēns,
we know that he took up the work of his father, a carpenter.
Viņš pārņēma savu tēvu profesiju, kļuva par galdnieku.
And so when Jesus started carpentry, do you think that he was making beautiful, ornate furniture?
Un kad Jēzus sāk nodarboties ar galdniecību, jums šķiet, ka viņš jau taisīja lieliskas mēbeles?
Probably not, right? It was probably the same as anyone else that starts doing something new.
Diez vai, visticamāk, viņam tas padevās tāpat kā jebkuram iesācējam.
You have to begin to work, you have to begin to learn, you have to put in long hours of practice and time.
Jums ir jāsāk darboties, jāsāk praktizēties un jāvēlt tam daudz laika.
But I would imagine by the time Jesus started his ministry when he was 30 years old,
bet es ticu, ka laikā, kad viņam bija 30 un viņš sāka savu kalpošanu,
that he had become a pretty good carpenter along the way.
Ka viņš bija kļuvis par diezgan labu galdnieku.
And this is the same process that Jesus takes his disciples through.
Un tieši šim pašam procesam cauri Jēzus izved savus mācekļus.
When the disciples started, they were very novice.
Kad mācekļi sāka, viņi bija iesācēji.
They were brand new in this work of fishing for men.
Viņi šajā cilvēku zvejniecībā bija amatieri.
But the amazing thing is that Jesus called them.
Bet apbrīnojami ir tas, ka Jēzus viņus aicināja.
And he worked with them.
Un viņš ar viņiem darbojās.
And you can see this all throughout scripture that there's many times where he would give them instructions.
Un cauri rakstiem mēs varam redzēt, kā viņš dod mācekļiem norādes.
And there's amazing thing is that they would follow them. They would do them.
Un viņi tām tiešām seko.
And so Jesus, early on, here we see in Matthew 10, that he sends them out on this journey.
Un Mateja 10, mēs redzam, ka Jēzus sūta mācekļus.
He says, as you go out from town to town, you're to heal, you're to preach, you're to teach.
Viņš saka, ejiet un sludiniet, jūs varat sludināt un dziedināt.
All of these different things that they were told to go out and do.
Jūs varat darīt visas lietas, par kurām es esmu jums mācījis.
But if you look at this same account in the book of Luke,
bet ja mēs to pašu aplūkojam Lūkas grāmatā,
we're not going to do it right now together.
Tad mēs to nedarīsim tagad kopā.
But after the disciples come back from this powerful experience of healing and teaching and preaching,
un kad mācekļi atgriezās no šī savu ceļojuma, kur viņi bija dziedinājuši un sludinājuši,
they're so excited, they're saying, hey, look at what we were able to do.
Viņi bija tik aizrautīgi un sajūsmināti, paskat, ko mēs izdarījām.
And the Bible says that Jesus pulled them aside.
Un Bībele saka, ka Jēzus viņus pavēl malā.
He takes them out of the town into the wilderness.
Viņš izved viņus ārā no pilsētas uz tuksnesi.
As if he's going to give them some lessons or some instruction.
Tā it kā viņš taisītos dot viņiem kādu mācību.
But the Bible doesn't record what that instruction is because it says that they were interrupted by a group of 5,000 men.
Bet Bībelē nav teikts, ko viņš gribēja viņiem mācīt, jo tur viņus pārtrauc 5,000 cilvēku pūlis.
So one of the things that we know about Jesus is that he used examples as teaching moments.
Un viena no lietām, ko mēs zinām par Jēzu, ir, ka viņš izmanto piemērus, lai mācītu.
So, what was it that Jesus was trying to teach them through the feeding of the 5,000 there in Luke chapter 9?
Un ko Jēzus mēģināja viņiem iemācīt, kad viņš pabaroja 5,000 cilvēku?
He was teaching them the lesson that they had missed when they went out to the towns and the villages.
Viņš mācīja viņiem to, ko viņi bija palaiduši garām, kad gāja uz ciematiem.
That it's not about the things that you did or you were able to accomplish.
Kad nav svarīgi, ko jūs varējāt izdarīt un sasniegt.
In fact, it's not even about you.
Tas pat nav par jums vispār.
It's about me.
Tas ir par viņu.
And your dependency on me.
Un jūsu atkarību no viņa.
How did Jesus teach them this lesson?
Kā Jēzus viņiem iemācīja šo mācību?
The Bible says that Jesus broke the bread and the fish.
Bībelē teikts, ka Jēzus salauza maizi un sadalīja zivis.
He multiplied it and put it in the baskets.
Viņš tās pavairoja un salika grozos.
And the Bible says that he gave it to the disciples.
Bībelē saka, ka viņš deva tos mācekļiem.
And the disciples gave it to the people.
Un mācekļi tos deva cilvēkiem.
And I love the imagery that's in this story.
Un man ļoti patīk, kā šis stāsts.
Because as they're distributing this one basket of food to 5,000 people,
kad viņi dod šo vienu grozu 5,000 cilvēkiem,
their basket runs out.
Tas grozs iztukšojas.
So what do they have to do?
Kas viņiem jādara?
They have to go back to Jesus or get a new basket from Jesus and go back to the people, right?
Viņiem jāiet atkal pie Jēzus, jāpaņem jaunu porciju un jāiet atpakaļ pie cilvēkiem.
The Bible says there was 5,000 men.
Bībelē teikts, ka tur bija 5,000 vīri.
The instruction was that they sit in groups of 50.
Viņiem bija jāsēž grupiņās pa 50.
So there's over 100 groups of people.
Tātad tur ir vairāk nekā 100 cilvēku grupas.
So I know maybe you've never pictured this in your mind, but imagine how long it would have taken to feed all of these people.
Varbūt jūs neesat to iztēlojušies, bet padomājiet, cik daudz laika paiet, lai pabarot visus šos cilvēkus.
But the only way they could feed the people was by going back to Jesus back to the people.
Bet vienīgais veids, kā viņi varēja pabarot šos cilvēkus, bija ejot atpakaļ pie Jēzus un tad pie cilvēkiem.
Jesus was trying to teach them dependency on him.
Jēzus viņiem mācīja, kā paļauties un būt atkarīgiem no viņa.
Jesus told his disciples, you're going to do amazing things, even greater things than I have done.
Jēzus teica mācekļiem, jūs izdarīsiet vēl lielākas lietas, nekā es esmu darījis.
But it's as you're dependent on me.
Bet tikai tad, ja būsiet atkarīgi no manis.
And you see, at the time where he sent them out, they didn't get this. They thought that they were the ones doing it.
Un brīdī, kad Jēzus viņus sūtīja, viņi to nesaprata, viņi domāja, ka viņi paši paveic visu.
And we know this all throughout scripture because how many times did they argue about which disciple was the greatest?
Un mēs to redzam visu cauri rakstiem, jo cik reizes gan mācekļi nestrīdējās, kurš no viņiem ir vislielākais.
Hey, Peter, John would say, look at the amazing things that I just did.
Hey, Peter, Jānis teikt, paskat, ko es izdarīju.
This is all throughout scripture, the lesson that they needed to learn before they were sent out on the Great Commission.
Un tā tas notiek visu laiku cauri rakstiem līdz brīdim, kad viņi tiek sūtīti savā misijā.
Was dependency on God.
Un viņiem bija jāiemācās būt atkarīgiem no Dieva.
And this is the wonderful thing about this novice stage or this early stage that God takes all of us through.
Un Jēzus izved mūs visus cauri šādam ceļam.
Is that as a novice you're not able to do something on your own.
Un tā mēs iemācāmies, ka esot iesācēji, mēs neko nevaram paši izdarīt.
One of the ways that we learn when we're in this stage is we watch other people doing it.
Viens no veidiem, kā mēs mācāmies, ir skatoties, kā citi dara lietas.
And then we begin going out and doing it.
Un tad mēs sākam iet un darīt to pašu.
So the disciples in Matthew chapter 10 or Luke chapter 9, it's the same story.
Tātad mācekļi Mateja 10. Nodaļā vai Lūkas 9.
They had never healed.
Dar vien un to pašu.
They had never healed.
Viņi nebija dziedinājuši.
They had never cast out demons.
Viņi nebija izdzinuši demonus.
But God sent them out because they had watched Jesus do this up to this point.
Bet Dievs sūtīja viņus, jo viņi bija vērojuši, kā Jēzus to dara.
But they still needed to learn dependency on him.
Un tomēr viņiem vēl vajadzēja iemācīties kļūt atkarīgiem no viņa.
So again, the context of what we're talking about is our members.
Tātad šobrīd mēs runājam par saviem draudzes locekļiem.
Our members are at all different stages.
Viņi ir ļoti dažādos dzīves posmos.
You're at all different stages.
Un arī jūs esat dažādos posmos.
And so what I want you to do as we go through these stages is think back in your own life where you were a novice.
Un es vēlos, lai jūs tagad padomājat par brīdi, kad jūs paši bijāt iesācēji.
And you might laugh and say, man, I made so many mistakes when I was a novice.
Un varbūt jūs pasmiesieties un domāsiet, es gan izdarīju daudz kļūdu.
I messed up so many times.
Es izdarīju sliktas lietas tik daudz reižu.
But I wouldn't change that experience for anything because it taught me.
Bet es nemainītu šo pieredzi ne pret ko, jo tā man mācīja.
And this is where we then begin to move into the next phase, which is the apprentice phase.
Un tagad mēs pārvietojamies uz nākamo fāzi, kur ir mācekļi.
And the idea behind the apprentice phase is we finally got to the point where we realize I can't do this on my own, I need somebody to help me with this.
Un tikai šajā posmā mēs saprotam, ka mēs paši nevaram to izdarīt, mums vajag kādu, uz ko paļauties.
So there's many examples we could use in scripture, but I used Matthew chapter 17.
Ir daudzi piemēri, ko mēs varētu atrast Bībelē, bet es izvēlējos Mateja 17. Nodaļu.
And the disciples come to Jesus because they had just tried to cast out a demon and they failed.
Mācekļi atnāk pie Jēzus un viņi ir mēģinājuši izdzīt demonu, bet viņiem neizdevās.
And the disciples say, Jesus, why couldn't we drive this demon out?
Un mācekļi prasa Jēzum, kāpēc mēs nevarējām viņu izdzīt.
And we know what Jesus tells them. He says, this kind can only come out through much prayer and fasting.
Un tad Jēzus saka, šādus var izdzīt tikai ar gavēšanu un lūkšanām.
So from the disciples' perspective, what they were saying is, hey, look, we used to cast out demons. We cast out demons way back in Matthew chapter 10.
Un mācekļi šeit it kā saka, hey, bet mēs jau izdzinām demonus, un mēs to darījām Mateja 10. Nodaļā.
But why aren't we able to do it now?
Bet kāpēc mēs to nevaram izdarīt tagad?
And Jesus is saying, I'm still teaching you this lesson of dependency on me.
Un Jēzus saka, es joprojām jums mācu, kā paļauties un būt atkarīgiem no manis.
And this is what I love so much about Jesus, is he was not telling his disciples to do something that he wasn't doing himself.
Un tāpēc man tik ļoti patīk Jēzus, viņš nekad nelika mācekļiem darīt to, ko viņš pats nedarīja.
How many times does scripture record that one of the disciples or all of the disciples would go up and find Jesus somewhere in prayer?
Cik daudz reižu mēs varam lasīt, ka mācekļi gāja un atrada Jēzu kaut kur lūdzam.
So the disciples are learning this lesson to be dependent on Jesus.
Tātad mācekļi mācās būt atkarīgi no Jēzus.
And Jesus was modeling to them that he was dependent on his Father.
Un Jēzus mācīja viņiem, ka viņš bija atkarīgs no Tēva.
And so he tells them again, hey, you need to be connected to God through prayer, you need to be connected to God through fasting.
Un tā viņš māca viņiem, ka viņiem jābūt atkarīgiem no Dieva lūkšanās un gavēšanā.
Then you'll be able to do these things.
Un ka tad viņi būs gatavi izdarīt dažādas lietas.
And so as they continue to grow in their faith, as they continue to grow in their abilities.
Un viņiem turpinot augt savā ticībā un spējās.
We come to this idea of the journeyman.
Mēs iegūstam šo konceptu par ceļošanu un
And this is where we're able to begin to do some things a little bit on our own. And I don't mean by ourselves, but we're able to do it with more confidence.
Un tas ir piedzīvojums, kurā mēs iemācāmies paši izdarīt jaunas lietas.
So the point when I know I go backwards in scripture and I know it's chronological.
Un tur, kur es skatīju, eju uz atpakaļ rakstos.
But it shows that, first of all, each of us learn at different places at different phases.
Mēs varam novērot to, ka katrs no mums mācās dažādos mirkļos.
All of us are at a little bit different stage than each other.
Un katrs no mums ir nedaudz citā posmā kā kāds cits.
And so Peter definitely had a lot to learn when he stepped out on the water.
Un Pēterim noteikti bija daudz ko mācīties, kad viņš izkāpa uz ūdens.
But the Bible says that he's the only one that did and he had a faith enough to step out of the boat onto the water.
Un Bībele saka, ka viņš bija vienīgais, kas mēģināja, un viņam pietika ticības, lai stāvētu uz ūdens.
And I know most of the time we look badly on Peter, because we say, Peter, you have so little faith.
Un bieži vien mēs skatāmies uz Pēteru slikti un sakām, Pēter, tev ir tik maz ticības.
But he had enough faith to believe that he could do it in the first place, or else he never would have.
Bet viņam bija pietiekam daudz ticības, lai viņš noticētu, ka viņš var staigāt pa ūdeni.
And as he steps out, Jesus grabs him and says, Oh, you of little faith, why did you doubt? You didn't need to doubt.
Kad Jēzus viņu sagrābi, viņš saka, ak, tu mazticīgais, kāpēc tu šaubījies, tev nevajadzēja šaubīties.
And then the last phase that we come to in their journey is this idea of mastery.
Pēdējā posmā mēs redzam, ka mēs kļūstam par, mēs apgūstam lietas.
So we became a novice.
Tātad mēs kļuvām par iesācējiem.
We moved up and we became an apprentice.
Mēs kļuvām par mācekļiem.
We moved a little further and became a journeyman where we were able to do some things on our own.
Tālāk mēs ieguvām pieredzi un varējām kaut ko izdarīt paši.
But the final stage that comes is a master.
Bet pēdējā posmā mēs jau esam tādi, kas var mācīt.
And we see this concept in the book of Acts, if you can turn there with me.
Un to mēs redzam Apustuļu darbos.
We're looking at Acts chapter 2.
Apostoļu darbu otrajā nodaļā.
And I'm setting a long time setting the stage biblically for this because this is very important to get.
Ir ļoti svarīgi šo saprast.
If you get nothing from what I say, make sure you get what the Bible is saying.
Ja jūs nesaprotat neko no tā, ko es saku, pārliecināties, ka jūs saprotat vismaz to, kas Bībelē.
And in Acts chapter 2, we look at verse 36.
Apostoļu otrās nodaļas 6.
Through 38.
Pantā līdz 38.
Pantam. I'm going to read the whole thing and then if you want to read it afterwards.
Jūs varat lasīt līdzi.
It says, Therefore let all of Israel be assured of this. God has made this Jesus, whom you crucified, both Lord and Christ. When the people heard this, they were cut to the heart and said to Peter and to the other apostles, Brothers, what shall we do? Peter responds, Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus. Jesus Christ, for your forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit.
36 through 38. 36, no 36. Tad, lai viss Izraēla nams zina un nešaubās, ka Dievs viņu ir darījis par kungu un Kristu šo pašu Jēzu, ko jūs esat cituši krustā. Šie vārdi sāpīgi ķēra viņu sirdis, un tie sacīja uz Pēteru un citiem apustuļiem brāļi, ko lai mēs darām. Bet Pēters tiem atbildēja, atgriezieties no grēkiem un liecieties kristīties ik viens Jēzus Kristus vārdā, lai jūs dabūtu grēku piedošanu un saņemtu Svētā Gara dāvanu.
So make sure you don't miss this transition that happened. This is Peter telling somebody else to do the same things that he just had to do himself.
Un tagad mēs redzam to, kā Pēters māca kādam darīt to, ko viņš pats bija iemācījies.
And that's the amazing thing about this is Peter, not too long before this, himself was having to repent, was having to come right with God.
Un tas ir tik apbrīnojami, ka vēl nesen Pēterim pašam bija jānožēlo un jākļūt salīdzinātam ar Dievu.
But now God is using Peter to be a blessing to other people.
Bet tagad Dievs lieto Pēteru, lai viņš būtu par svētību citiem.
And in a church context, a master doesn't mean that there's not room for more growth.
Un baznīcas kontekstā profesionāls nenozīmē, ka vairs nav kur augt.
It just means you're now able to follow more of what God has told you to do.
Tas tikai nozīmē, ka tagad jūs esat spējīgāki sekot tam, ko Dievs jums ir teicis.
And what God has called every single one of us to do is Matthew 28. 28, verse 18 to 20.
Un Dievs mūs visus ir aicinājis darīt to, kas rakstīts Mateja 28. Nodaļā.
And as Seventh-day Adventists, we know this well because this is part of our mission statement.
Un kā septītās dienas adventisti, mēs visu šo vietu zinām labi.
We know that all authority in heaven and earth was given to Jesus.
Ka visa vara debesīs un virs zemes bija dota Jēzum.
And Jesus told all of us, therefore go and make disciples of all nations.
Un Jēzus teica, tāpēc ejiet un dariet par mācekļiem visas tautas.
Including Lithuania.
Ieskaitot Lietuvu.
Including Latvia.
Latviju.
Including Estonia.
Un Igauniju.
And Jesus tells them to baptize all of them in those countries in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Un Jēzus liek viņiem kristīt visus šajās valstīs Dieva Tēva, Dēla un Svētā Gara vārdā.
We're to teach them to obey everything that he has commanded.
Lai viņi mācītos ievērot to, ko viņš ir teicis.
And we're promised that he is going to be along with us to the very end of the ages.
Un mums ir apsolīts, ka viņš būs ar mums līdz pasaules galam.
So make sure you don't miss this, because even in our Great Commission, there's different stages that people will find themselves at.
Tāpēc nepalaidiet šo garām, jo vienmēr būs dažādi posmi, kuros cilvēki atrodas.
There'll be some that are at this discipleship stage.
Daži ir mācekļu posmā.
And all of us are to always be disciples, but some aren't ready to be baptized yet.
Daži no mums vienmēr būs mācekļi, bet daži pat vēl nav gatavi tikt kristīti.
Some people are ready to be baptized.
Daži cilvēki ir gatavi tikt kristīti.
Some people are ready to be taught to obey everything that Scripture says.
Un daži ir gatavi, lai viņiem mācīt visu, ko raksts saka.
And some people aren't ready to be taught everything that Scripture says.
Bet daži nav tam gatavi.
And this is the amazing thing, is that I think one of the things that our church is lacking in.
Un tas ir tik apbrīnojami, un šī lieta, manuprāt, trūkst mūsu draudzē.
Is that we forget that our journey has taken us however long to get to this place.
Ka mēs aizmirstam to, ka mēs paši esam izgājuši daudz kam cauri, lai nokļūtu tur, kur mēs šobrīd esam.
And then we look at others and we say, why aren't you here where I am?
Un tad mēs skatāmies uz citiem un prasām, kāpēc tu neesi tur, kur es tagad esmu.
And we say, well, you need to be as mature as I am in this area.
Tev jābūt tikpat nobriedušam, kā es esmu.
And we're very good at then judging by behavioral standards or the things that we can see on the outside.
Un mums ļoti labi padodas tiesāt pēc uzvedības, ko mēs redzam.
Forgetting that we ourselves used to be the exact same way.
Bet mēs aizmirstam, ka mēs paši reiz bijām tieši tādi.
But we justify it by saying, well, I never struggled with that, or I never dealt with those issues.
Bet mēs attaisnojamies, sakot, ka man nekad nav bijušas problēmas ar to.
But all of us at one point in our Christian journey, in our Seventh-day Adventist adventure,
tomēr mēs visi, katrs savā dzīvē šajā piedzīvojumā,
have been back at the novice phase.
Esam bijuši iesācēju fāzē.
And we're all in this journey at some point together.
Un mēs visi kopā esam kaut kādā šī piedzīvojuma punktā.
And the amazing thing about all of this is that you might be a master at some area of your life.
Jūs varat būt profesionāls kādā savas dzīves jomā.
And a novice at another area.
Bet tajā pat laikā arī iesācējis citā jomā.
You might have learned a few things about one thing.
Iespējams, ka jūs zināt šo un to par vienu lietu.
But you might have a lot of things to learn about something else.
Bet jums varbūt ir vēl ļoti daudz ko mācīties par ko citu.
And so I share all of this with you because this is the holistic picture that the Bible gives about our church members.
Un es ar jums dalos šajā, jo Bībele dod mums ieskatu šajā piedzīvojumā, kam iet cauri.
But it says that we're to mobilize all of them.
Bet tur ir teikts, ka mums viņi visi ir jāmobilizē.
Why? Because this is what Jesus did.
Kāpēc? Tāpēc, ka tas ir tas, ko Jēzus darīja.
He called them to work alongside of him while they were still novices.
Viņš aicināja viņus nākt un strādāt ar viņu, kamēr viņi vēl bija iesācēji.
And so as a pastor, what right do I have to say, hey, I'm only going to select those that have already mastered these areas?
Un kā gan es kā mācītājs varu teikt, es izvēlēšos tikai tos, kas jau ir apguvuši šīs jomas.
No, instead I should say, hey, you know what, Jesus, I'm going to follow your example and I'm going to take anyone that's willing to come with me.
Patiesībā man ir jāsaka, Jēzu, es sakošu tavam piemēram un ņemšu jebkuru, kas vien vēlas nākt ar mani.
And we see this was Paul's approach, that he said, hey, follow me as I'm following Jesus.
Un tā bija Pāvila metode, viņš teica, sekojiet man, kamēr es sekoju Jēzum.
Paul was not perfect.
Pāvils nebija perfekts.
Paul got in fights with people.
Viņš cīnījās.
He got in arguments with people.
Viņš strīdējās ar viņiem.
People went separate directions than did Paul because they couldn't work together.
Cilvēki aizgāja dažādos virzienos tikai lai nebūtu jāstrādā ar Pāvilu.
But yet Paul understood that he was on the journey just as those that he was encouraging to follow him.
Un tomēr Pāvils saprata, ka viņš ir šajā piedzīvojumā, kur viņam ir jāmācās.
And this is what it means to be a disciple.
Un tieši to nozīmē būt māceklim.
Is that as a disciple, part of your call is to disciple others as well.
Kad esot māceklim, jūsu aicinājums ir mācīt arī citus.
And you don't have to wait to say, hey, I've now become a master at this before you can start it.
Un jums nav jāgaida, līdz jūs esat profesionāls, pirms jūs varat sākt.
As soon as you've learned one or two things about something,
tik līdz jūs esat apguvuši dažas lietas,
share those with somebody else.
Dalieties tajās ar kādu citu.
Bring them along the journey that you're going through.
Ņemiet viņus līdzi savā piedzīvojumā.
So what does this look like in a very simple, practical way?
Tātad, kā tas izskatās praktiski?
You spend time, I hope, every day in God's Word.
Es ceru, ka jūs katru dienu pavadāt laiku pētot Dievu vārdu.
And God's Word speaks to you. It shows you something every day, I hope.
Un Dievu vārds, es ceru, jūs uzrunā un atklāj jums katru dienu kaut ko.
Share that with somebody else.
Dalieties ar to kādā, ar kādu citu.
Share how God has blessed you from His Word.
Stāstiet, kā Dievs ir svētījis jūs caur savu vārdu.
And that can be a blessing to somebody else as well.
Un tā var būt svētība arī kādam citam.
So you came today to learn about how to mobilize people into ministry.
Tātad šodien jūs atnācāt, lai mācītos, kā mobilizēt cilvēkus kalpošanai.
Especially into evangelism.
It īpaši evangelizācijai.
So one of the things that we're talking about and why I spent so much time going through this first part.
Tātad mēs izgājām šai pirmajai daļai tā pilnīgi cauri.
Is that this is the foundation for everything else that comes.
Tāpēc, ka tas ir pamats visam, kas seko pēc tam.
It's not my perspective on how somebody else comes through or only those that I'll choose.
Tas nav mans skatījums uz to, kā izvēlēties cilvēkus.
But it's me looking at, okay, this is how Jesus did it.
Bet es skatos, kā Jēzus to darīja.
And it's understanding that, okay, now as a leader, this is how I need to help other people do this.
Un tagad es saprotu, ka man kā līderim ir šādi jādarbojas, lai palīdzētu.
So if you want to mobilize people into evangelism,
tātad, ja jūs vēlaties mobilizēt cilvēkus evangelizācijai,
the first thing that you need to do as a leader is you need to provide training for them.
Pirmā lieta, kas jums ir jādara, ir jānodrošina apmācības viņiem.
It's very unrealistic for you to go and tell somebody to do something that they have never done before.
Visticamāk, jūs nevarēsiet aiziet un kādam pateikt, lai viņi dara kaut ko, ko nekad nav darījuši.
So in Jesus's example with his disciples,
tāpēc Jēzus piemērā ar viņu mācekļiem,
he said, hey, come and follow me.
Viņš teica, nāc un seko man.
So they were watching what he was doing.
Tad viņi skatījās, ko viņš darīja.
They had a context for what he was doing.
Viņi redzēja, kādās situācijās viņš to dara.
So when he sends them out two by two,
un tātad, kad viņš sūta viņus pa divi,
they're able to look back and say, okay, well, we don't exactly know what it is because we haven't done it.
Viņi var paskatīties atpakaļ un saprast, ka viņi nezin, kā īsti to izdarīt.
But maybe we do it the same way that Jesus did.
Bet varbūt viņi to var darīt tā, kā Jēzus darīja.
And so training can look very different.
Un mācības var būt ļoti dažādas.
This right now is training.
Šobrīd arī mēs mācāmies.
I'm hoping that you take this same material out with others and you train them in the same things.
Es ceru, ka jūs arī pastāstīsiet par šo citiem.
Make it contextualized for whichever country you come from, whatever your ministry context is.
Pielāgojiet to katrai savai valstī.
But go out and share it with other people.
Bet ejiet un dalieties ar cilvēkiem.
But training also looks like taking someone along with you to do something.
Bet mācīšanās ir arī tad, kad jūs ņemat kādu sev līdzi.
We call this on the job or on the spot training.
Un mēs to tā kā saucam par apmācībām uz vietas.
And this personally is my favorite type of training for how I learn best.
Tas ir mans mīļākais veids, kā mācīties.
So I was a theology major in my undergrad degree.
Es mācījos maģistra teoloģijā.
And I studied ministry for 2 years.
Un es studēju mācītā, kļūt par kalpošanu.
So I'm in the classroom, I'm learning from the books, I'm learning from the professors.
Es biju klasē, mācījos no grāmatām, no profesoriem.
But I didn't really know what it meant to be a pastor.
Bet es nezināju, ko nozīmē būt mācītājiem.
It wasn't until the next 2 years where we were able to be a student pastor and work alongside of a pastor that I finally got an idea of what was going on.
Pagāja vēl 2 gadi, līdz es varēju būt blakus mācītājiem, kurš tiešām dara savu darbu, un tikai tad es sapratu, kā tas notiek.
And so I think I learned almost as much, if not more, from actually doing ministry alongside of a pastor than I did from all of the textbooks.
Un manuprāt, es daudz vairāk iemācījos esot blakus mācītājiem nekā no grāmatām.
Now, don't get me wrong, the textbooks are important.
Bet, protams, ir svarīgas arī grāmatas.
But for my learning style, I needed to be active in doing.
Tomēr man pašam vajadzēja būt aktīvam un darīt to visu.
And I like to view it this way because I think many of us are one side or the other.
Un man patīk to skatīties šādi, jo mēs visi esam dažādi.
As you say, well, we can just learn by doing.
Mēs varam mācīties darot.
Well, we can just learn by studying.
Vai arī mēs varam mācīties studējot.
But how many tracks does a train run on?
Bet mums ir vairāk veidi.
How many tracks does a train run on?
Nu, kādā veidā mēs varam kļūt apmācīti?
Two.
Tikai divos veidos.
There's one on each side, right? They parallel each other. And this is how I very much view ministry training, is that you need to have the training, you need to have the knowledge, you need to have the information.
Tātad ir tikai divi veidi, un jums ir jāiegūst apmācības.
But if you don't have the practical application, it doesn't mean anything.
Bet ja jums nav praktiska veida, kā to pielietot, tas neko nenozīmē.
And so both of them need to be done together.
Tātad ir jādara abas lietas reizē.
And this is what Jesus did with his disciples.
Un tieši to Jēzus darīja ar mācekļiem.
The Bible doesn't record all of it, but I can imagine that in the evenings they would have a lot of conversations.
Bībelē tas viss nav rakstīts, bet visticamāk viņiem vakaros bija daudz sarunu.
And then during the day they would do a lot of ministry together.
Un tad dienas laikā viņi darīja daudz kalpošanu kopā.
And then Jesus would pull them aside and say, "Okay, what is it that we've learned? What can we take out of what just happened?"
Un tad Jēzus viņus pavilka malā un jautāja, ko mēs no šī varam mācīties.
So if you're going to mobilize your members, if you're going to try to get your members active.
Tātad, ja jūs mobilizēsiet savus draudzes locekļus un gribat, lai viņi kļūst aktīvi.
You first must provide training for them.
Jums vispirms viņi ir jāapmāca.
The second area, because I think sometimes as Adventists we're very good at the training area.
Un tad ir otra joma, jo, manuprāt, mēs Adventisti esam ļoti labi apmācību jomā.
We're very good at coming together and getting information.
Mums patīk nākt kopā un iegūt informāciju.
The part that I think we fail on sometimes is that we expect somebody to be more trained than they need to be to start doing ministry.
Bet mūsu problēma ir tā, ka mēs gaidām, ka kāds kļūs vēl apmācītāks, lai varētu sākt kaut ko darīt.
So sometimes what we do on the other side is we send people out too early.
Bet dažreiz mēs arī sūtām cilvēkus pārāk ātri.
And so they're getting training from ideas, from theory, from seminars.
Un tā viņi iegūst idejas semināros un apmācībās.
They're actively doing ministry alongside with somebody else, this 2x2 principle.
Un viņi aktīvi dara kalpošanu kopā ar kādu citu.
But then we also need to come along beside them or from behind them and we need to support them.
Bet mums nepieciešams viņus arī atbalstīt un būt blakus.
The number one reason why I've seen people get discouraged and get burned out.
Galvenais iemesls, kāpēc cilvēki kļūst mazdūšīgi un izdeg.
Is because they don't have anyone that's supporting them, encouraging them.
Ir tas, ka viņiem nav neviena, kas atbalstītu un būtu blakus.
So I said in the first seminar that one of the major responsibilities of a pastor is to be a talent scout.
Tātad pirmajā seminārā es teicu, ka mācītāja galvenais uzdevums ir redzēt citu talentus.
The second major area that a pastor needs to be is a cheerleader.
Bet mācītājiem jābūt arī kā karstai meitenei, jeb uzmundrinātājiem.
And I'm not talking about with the pom-poms cheering, but you understand.
Jā, un es nerunāju par karstai meitenēm, bet jūs saprotat.
The pastor or the leader of something should be the number one supporter of those that are doing it.
Mācītājiem, jeb vadītājiem vajadzētu būt pirmajam, kas atbalsta tos, kas dara to kalpošanu.
You're to come alongside those that you're working with and affirm how great of a job they're doing.
Jums jānāk pie tiem, kas kalpo, un jāsaka viņiem, ka viņi dara lielisku darbu.
How much you appreciate them.
Ka jūs ļoti viņus novērtējat.
How much you enjoy what they're doing.
Ka jums ļoti patīk tas, ko viņi dara.
And oftentimes what we end up doing is actually the opposite.
Bet bieži vien mēs saprotam, ka mēs darām pretējo.
We say, well, I don't think you're doing it the best way you could. Or,
sakām, man šķiet, ka tu nedari labāko, ko varētu.
Why don't you do this instead of what you're doing?
Kāpēc tu labāk nevarētu darīt to, nevis šo?
But what they really need is just someone to come along and support them.
Bet patiesībā viņiem vajag kādu, kas nāk un viņus atbalsta.
Human nature tells us that those things which are affirmed the most often,
cilvēki daba saka, ka tās lietas, par kurām viņi tiek paslavēti,
are the things that people tend to do.
Ir tieši tās lietas, ko cilvēki grib darīt.
So a pastor was in a church and his church was having a very hard time making their monthly budget.
Kādā baznīcā bija mācītājs, kur un viņiem bija problēmas ar mēneša budžetu.
The giving in their church was very low.
Un ziedojumi baznīcā bija ļoti mazi.
And so what would you do if you were the pastor of this church and your giving is very low?
Un ko jūs darītu šajā draudzē, ja jūs būtu tās mācītājs?
Most of us would probably stand up and say, "Hey, we need more money. Why aren't we giving? What's wrong with you people?"
Visticamāk, daudz no mums iziet priekšā un prasītu, "Hey, mums vajag vairāk naudas, kāpēc mēs nedodam vairāk?"
This pastor decided that he was going to do something different.
Šis mācītājs nolēma darīt ko citādāku.
That every time he was up front, what he was going to tell his people is, "You are the most generous people I've ever met."
Katru reizi, kad viņš iznāca priekšā, viņš teica, "Jūs esat visdāsnākie cilvēki, kādus es pazīstu."
I appreciate how generous you are, how giving you are.
Es ļoti novērtēju to, cik daudz jūs dodat.
You're so gracious.
Jūs esat tik žēlsirdīgi.
Guess what happened?
Un uzminiet, kas notika.
Giving went up.
Cilvēki sāk dot vairāk.
People began to give more.
Un ziedojumi palielinājās.
Because people will naturally tend to shift towards what is being affirmed.
Tāpēc, ka cilvēki dabiski mēģina darīt to, par ko viņi tiek paslavēti.
So leaders of your church, if you need more money in your churches, maybe you try this.
Tāpēc, ja jums vajadzīgs vairāk naudas, jūs draudzēs pamēģiniet šo metodi.
Another area that's very important in mobilizing your members is that your members need to know what the vision for your church is.
Vēl viena lieta, kas ir svarīga, lai mobilizētu jūs draudzi, ir, ka locekļiem ir svarīgi zināt, kas jādara.
The Bible says where there's lack of vision, the people perish.
Tad, kad trūkst vīzijas, tad cilvēki izklīst.
And one of the things that I've noticed is that even though some churches are very small,
un viena lieta, ko es esmu novērojis, ka kaut gan daudzas draudzes ir ļoti mazas,
they try to look like churches that are very large.
Viņi mēģina izskatīties kā lielas draudzes.
They take their church manual and they have 27 ministry positions that they fill.
Viņiem ir 27 kalpošanas pozīcijas.
Even though they might only have 20 members.
Kaut gan varbūt viņiem ir tikai 20 locekļi.
And so it's hard to know what is this church about because everyone is doing everything and you're trying to accomplish so much.
Un ir grūti saprast, kāds ir šīs draudzes mērķis, jo katrs mēģina darīt visu iespējamo.
What would it look like instead if you were to say, "Hey, we're going to focus on two or three areas and this is what we're going to become known for and this is going to be our vision."
Un kā būtu, ja jūs izvēlētos divas vai trīs jomas un teiktu, pie šī mēs strādāsim, ar to mēs kļūsim pazīstami.
If you want people to rally behind whatever it is that you want them to do, you have to cast the vision for it.
Ja jūs gribat, lai cilvēki seko tam, ko jūs vēlaties panākt, jums ir jādod viņiem vīziju.
A common expression is the burden of leadership.
Plaši pazīstams izteiciens ir vadības nasta.
And it's common because there's a lot of responsibilities on you as a leader.
Un tas ir zināms tāpēc, ka jums kā vadītājiem ir daudz atbildību.
But the reality is that if you don't cast the vision, nobody else is going to.
Bet ja jūs nesniegsiet vīziju, neviens to nedarīs.
The next thing that you need, which is most important, is you need to make sure that you have different things that you can plug them into right away.
Un nākamā lieta, kas nepieciešama, ir jums jau jābūt padomā lietām, kurām jūs varat cilvēkus piesaistīt.
You understand that when the Bible talks about spiritual gifts, it says that everyone has a different combination of spiritual gifts.
Un kad mēs runājam par garīgajām dāvanām, Bībele saka, ka katram ir citādāka kombinācija ar šīm dāvanām.
So the title of our seminar is about mobilizing members to do evangelism.
Tātad mūsu semināra tēma ir draudzes locekļu mobilizēšana evangelizācijai.
But only about 15% of people actually have the gift of evangelism.
Bet tikai aptuveni 15% cilvēku vispār ir evangelizācijas dāvana.
Because evangelism is a spiritual gift.
Tāpēc, ka evangelizācija ir garīga dāvana.
So does that mean that the other 85% can just sit back and say, "Whew, I don't have to worry about evangelism"?
Vai tas nozīmē, ka pārējie 85% var vienkārši sēdēt krēslos un teikt, man nav jāuztraucas par evangelizāciju?
No, that means that as a leader, it's your responsibility to figure out how are you going to use people with different gifts for evangelism.
Nē, tas nozīmē, ka jums kā vadītājiem ir jāatrod veidi, kā izmantot šos citus cilvēkus ar citām dāvanām evangelizācijai.
So I know you have met, if you don't have the gift yourself, I know you met somebody with the gift of evangelism.
Es zinu, ka pat ja jums šīs dāvanas nav, jūs noteikti esat saticis kādu ar evangelizācijas dāvanu.
These are the people that no matter what you're talking about,
šie ir cilvēki, kas neatkarīgi no tā, par ko jūs runājat,
whether you're talking about ice hockey,
vienalga, vai jūs runāsiet par hokeju,
or you're talking about going to the Tarzans,
vai par iešanu uz Tarzānu dabas parku,
somehow they're going to work back in Jesus into the conversation.
Viņi kaut kādā veidā novirzīs sarunas tematu pie Jēzus.
This is the gift that they have, is being able to connect with you and be able to lead you into this idea of a relationship with Jesus.
Un tā ir viņa dāvana, viņa spēja jūs vadīt pie domas par attiecībām ar Jēzu.
And very few people have this gift.
Tikai ļoti dažiem cilvēkiem ir
šī. But that doesn't mean that we don't tell other people about Jesus.
Bet tas nenozīmē, ka mēs citiem cilvēkiem nevaram stāstīt par Jēzu.
That just means as a leader we have to be creative about how we use other people for evangelism.
Tas nozīmē, ka mums kā līderiem ir jābūt ļoti radošiem, lai izdomātu, kā likt pārējiem cilvēkiem evangelizēt.
So somebody please tell me what your spiritual gift is.
Kāds varētu pastāstīt, kāda ir jūsu garīgā dāvana?
Actually, let me ask before I even say that. How many of you know what your spiritual gifts are?
Cik no jums zina, kas ir jūsu garīgās dāvanas?
Okay, so there's about 10 of you. So of those 10, somebody tell me what one of your spiritual gifts is.
Vai kāds no jums 10 varētu pateikt, kuras ir jūsu garīgās dāvanas?
And I know this is a culture where you don't give feedback, but this is a question.
Mūsu kultūra ir diezgan neatsaucīga, bet kādam vajadzētu atbildēt?
Music is a beautiful spiritual gift that I wish that I had that I don't have.
Mūzika ir ļoti skaista dāvana, ko es arī sev gribētu, bet man tādas nav.
So do we tell my dear sister back here, I'm sorry, you're not useful for evangelism.
Tātad vai mēs varētu jums teikt, ka žēl, bet evangelizācijai šo dāvanu nevar izmantot?
Oh, of course not, right?
Protams, ka nē.
What do we do? Do you have your hand up?
Vai jūs arī
What do we do?
Evangelism on the streets.
Evangelism on the streets? Are you saying using music for evangelism on the streets?
Vai mēs varam izmantot mūziku evangelizācijai uz ielām?
Nice. I like it. So the beautiful thing about evangelism.
Tātad skaistā lieta evangelizācijā.
Is that it's not a one size fits all approach.
Ir, ka viena metode nedar visiem.
I know all of you have probably seen a Mark Finley seminar.
Zinu, ka jūs visi noteikti esat redzējuši Marka Finlija semināru.
And you have in your mind, this is what evangelism must look like.
Un jums ir doma, ka tā ir jāizskatās evangelizācijai.
And I love public evangelism.
Man ļoti patīk publiskais evangelisms.
I did 11 evangelistic series in my first year of ministry.
Es savā pirmajā kalpošanas gadā veicu 11 šādas.
But maybe evangelism looks like my brother said, doing something on the streets.
Bet varbūt tas tam jāizskatās tā, ka, kā teica šis brālis, ka mums kaut kas jādara uz ielām.
And this man will make a good leader because he's thinking outside of the traditional approach.
Un viņš veido labu vadītāju tieši tāpēc, ka viņš uzskata, ka mums jādara kaut kas ārpus baznīcas.
So whether it is traditional evangelism,
tātad neatkarīgi no tā, vai tas ir tradicionālais evangelisms,
or it's something creative like on the street or outside of the church building,
vai kaut kas radošs ārpus baznīcas telpām,
you can use music as a form of evangelism.
Jūs varat izmantot mūziku kā evangelizācijas formu.
So if it's a traditional evangelistic series, you have music as part of the program, right?
Tātad, ja tā ir tradicionāla evangelizācija, jums programmā noteikti būs mūzika.
And I know this is so basic that everyone understands this.
Un es zinu, ka visi šo saprot.
But I have to share it because this is what's so often missing.
Bet man tomēr tas jāpastāsta, jo mēs bieži to palaižam garām.
Is if I was going to lead an evangelistic series, I would approach my sister here and I would say, hey, please play music for us each evening.
Tātad, ja es vadītu evangelizāciju, es pieietu pie šīs māsas un teiktu, mums vajadzētu, lai jūs katru vakaru veicat mūzikas evangelizāciju.
And she's able to use her spiritual gift.
Un viņa varēs izmantot savu garīgo dāvanu.
Which is able to be a blessing to her and a blessing to others.
Kas varēs būt svētība ne tikai viņai, bet arī citiem.
And there's other people that have different spiritual gifts that can be a part of the same program and still be a blessing to others.
Un ir citi cilvēki ar citādām garīgām dāvanām, kas var būt par svētību citiem.
So as a leader, this is one of your responsibilities is when you plan something.
Tātad jums kā līderiem, kad jūs plānojat, šī ir viena no atbildībām.
To say, how can I incorporate different people with different gifts at different skill levels?
Jums jāsaprot, kā iesaistīt cilvēkus, kas ir dažādos posmos ar dažādām spējām un dažādiem spēju līmeņiem.
And this is so important because this is one of the things that we're supposed to do.
Un tas ir tik svarīgi, tāpēc ka tā ir viena no lietām, kas mums jādara.
So we looked at Exodus chapter 18 in our first session together. I know some of you are new.
Pirmajā seminārā mēs skatījāmies otrās Mozus grāmatas 18. Nodaļā.
So we're going to look at it real quickly together. We're not going to spend the time that we did the first time.
Paskatīsimies uz to vēlreiz ātri.
But in Exodus chapter 18, Moses is doing ministry all by himself.
Otrās Mozus grāmatas 18. Nodaļā Mozus visu kalpošanu dar pats.
And Moses' father-in-law comes and says, hey, Moses, what you're doing is not good. It's not healthy.
Un Mozus Mozus vecajai nāk un saka viņam, ka tas, ko viņi dar, viņš dar, nav veselīgi.
He said, instead, what you need to do
patiesībā tas, kas tev jādara,
is you need to find people
tev jāatrod cilvēki,
who are capable,
kuri ir spējīgi,
who fear God,
kuri bīstas Dievu,
who are trustworthy,
kuri ir uzticami,
and who hate dishonest gain.
Un kuriem nepatīk negodīgums.
So these are the four categories that they're looking for.
Tātad šīs ir četras kategorijas, ko viņi meklē.
And he said, you're going to take these people,
un tev jāņem šie cilvēki,
and you're going to make some leaders over 1,000.
Un daži jāieceļ par vadītājiem par 1,000.
You're going to make some leaders over 100.
Un daži par vadītājiem par 100.
Some leaders that are over 50.
Daži par vadītājiem par 50.
And some leaders that are only over 10.
Un daži, kas atbild tikai par 10.
And so don't miss this principle from this story.
Un neaizmirstiet šo principu.
Were all of these leaders doing the same thing?
Vai visi šie vadītāji darīja vienu un to pašu?
Yes, they were. They were functioning as judges, but were all of them doing it on the same scale?
Jā, viņi darīja vienu un to pašu, viņi bija soģi, bet viņi katrs to darīja savā izmērā.
No, some were only over 10 people.
Daži bija tikai pār 10 cilvēkiem.
Some were over 1,000 people.
Daži pār 1,000.
Do you think there's a difference in skill level between those that were only over 10 and those that were over 1,000?
Vai jums šķiet, ka prasmju līmenis starp tiem, kas bija pār 10 un pār 1,000 atšķīrās?
I think there probably was.
Es domāju, ka visticamāk jā.
Because one of the categories that they were looking for in these men,
tāpēc, ka viena no kategorijām, ko viņi meklēja šajos cilvēkos,
were those that weren't covetousness.
Bija tādi, kas nav nodevīgi.
And what does it mean to covet?
Ko tas nozīmē?
To want something that you don't have.
Tā ir vēlme iegūt kaut ko, kas tev nav.
And so one of the things that Jethro was telling Moses is you need to find people that are going to be happy where they are.
Un šis cilvēks teica, Mozum, tev jāatrod cilvēki, kas ir laimīgi ar to, kas viņiem ir.
They're not going to say, hey, I wish I was the person that was over 1,000.
Nevis tie, kas saka, es gribu, lai es varētu valdīt pār 1,000.
Well, I think I have the capabilities to be leading more people than I'm leading.
Vai arī tie, kas saka, manuprāt, es varu vadīt vairāk cilvēku, nekā es vadu.
So this is one of the things that Moses, as their leader, had to do, was look at their skill level and figure out which person should be over thousands and which person should be over tens.
Un tā, nu, Mozum bija jāizvērtē, kuri cilvēki varētu būt pār 1,000 un kuri pār 10.
But the other important lesson that we learn from this story as leaders as well,
bet vēl viena svarīga morāla, ko mēs šeit iegūstam kā vadītāji,
is that Moses didn't just tell them, hey, you guys go out and do ministry and I'm going to go over here.
Ir, ka Mozus neteica, jūs ejiet kalpot un es tur paiešu malā, pasēdēšu.
He didn't just come over here and relax.
Viņš neaizgāja apsēsties un neatpūtās.
Moses was also there judging alongside of them.
Mozus arī bija ar viņiem un bija soģis kopā ar viņiem.
The ministry structure that Moses was doing exactly what they were doing, just on a different scale.
Kalpošanā Mozus darīja tieši to pašu, ko viņi tikai citā mērogā.
And so what you're supposed to do as a leader is you're not just supposed to tell people, hey, go and do this on your own in isolation.
Un jūs kā vadītāji nevarat cilvēkiem teikt, ej un dari to viens pats.
But you're to do it alongside of them.
Jums tas viss jādara kopā ar viņiem.
So as you're training them,
tātad, kad jūs apmācāt cilvēku,
as you're supporting them,
kad jūs atbalstāt viņus,
as you're casting the vision for them,
kad jūs dodat viņiem vīziju,
you're doing it with them.
Jums tas jādara kopā ar viņiem.
Now this doesn't mean that you'll always do it with them.
Tas nenozīmē, ka jūs vienmēr varēsiet to darīt kopā.
Jesus left his disciples.
Jēzus atstāja savus mācekļus.
As a leader, you might have to move on to other things. There's a lot of things looking for your attention.
Kā vadītājiem jums iespējams būs jāpievērš citām lietām.
And so this is when you have to know when to keep working with the team.
Bet jums jāzina, kad turpināt strādāt ar komandu.
And when you're able to move on.
Un kad jūs varat virzīties tālāk.
And so this is a most important principle that we can look at as we mobilize our members, is that we need to encourage them.
Šis ir vissvarīgākais princips, kas mums jāsaprot, lai mobilizētu mūsu draudzes locekļus, ka mums ir viņi jāiedrošina.
We need to give them jobs that they're able to do successfully.
Mums jādod viņiem darbi, kas, ko viņi var izdarīt veiksmīgi.
Because I think, unfortunately, one of the things that we do oftentimes is we put people in positions with the understanding that they might not make it.
Un, jo, diemžēl, mēs bieži vien uzticam cilvēkiem darbus, apzinoties, ka viņi varbūt to nemaz nevarēs izdarīt.
I won't speak for the Baltic Union. I hope that never happens here.
Es nerunāšu par Baltijas Uniju. Es ceru, ka jums tā nenotiek.
But in my church, we just came through nominating committee.
Bet manā draudzē mēs izveidojām nominācijas komiteju.
And I would say 50 or 60% of the people that we asked to do positions.
Un bija 50 vai 60% no cilvēkiem, kuriem mēs vaicājām, vai viņi gribētu kaut ko darīt.
They said, no, we don't want to do that. We just want to take a break from ministry. We're tired.
Viņi teica, nē, mēs gribam vienkārši atpūsties no kalpošanas, jo esam noguruši.
Which is fine. Sometimes people need a break.
Kas, protams, ir normāli. Reizēm cilvēkiem vajag atpūsties.
But we would ask them, and we would say, well, why is it that you feel you need a break?
Bet mēs jautājām viņiem, kāpēc tu jūties tā, ka tev vajadzīgi atpūt?
And they would say things like, well, I felt like I'm doing it all on my own.
Un viņi parasti atbildēja, man šķiet, ka es visu daru viens pats.
And well, I don't have as much support as I need.
Un man nav tik daudz atbalsta, kā es gribētu.
And I don't necessarily know what the overall vision for the church is.
Un es pat varbūt nezinu, kāda ir baznīcas kopējā vīzija.
And so then as a leader, it's up to me to say, hey, you know what, that's my failing.
Un man kā līderim tad ir jāsaka, ej, bet šo es esmu izdarījis nepareizi.
I'm not going to sit in the moment, we're going to move forward. But we need to grow in these areas.
Mums jāvirzās tālāk, mums jāaug šajās jomās.
And so this is so important as a leader that you're doing these things, because if not, you're just going to keep burning people out.
Un ir ļoti svarīgi, lai jūs kā vadītājs darīt šīs lietas, jo citādi cilvēki izdegs.
And people will be unwilling to do anything that you ask them to do in the future.
Un cilvēki negribēs darīt neko no tā, ko jūs aicināsiet viņus darīt.
So the seminar this whole weekend is about the importance of church planting.
Tātad viss šis seminārs ir par draudžu veidošanu.
And this is definitely relevant in the area of church planting because you're only working with a few people usually.
Un tas pilnīgi noteikti ir svarīgi, jo parasti jūs strādājat ar dažiem cilvēkiem.
But even in some of your churches, the same principle will apply because I know some of them are smaller.
Un pat, ja dažās no jūsu draudzēm šis princips darbosies labi.
And that's simply this. The number two reason why church plants fail across the world field.
Otrais iemesls, kāpēc jaunu draudžu veidošana neizdodas.
Is that leaders are working outside of their area of spiritual giftedness.
Ir, ka vadītāji darbojas ārpus savas garīgo dāvanu jomas.
For an extended period of time.
Ilgāku laiku nekā vajadzētu.
So the principle behind this is that you only have so many people that you're working with.
Jums jāņem vērā, ka jums ir tikai tik daudz cilvēku, ar kuriem jūs varat darboties, cik jums ir.
And every person is working really hard.
Un katrs cilvēks dara visu iespējamo.
Because they're excited about what God is doing.
Tāpēc, ka viņi ir sajūsmināti par to, ko Dievs dara.
They're excited that this is a new work in a new area.
Viņi ir priecīgi, ka šis ir jauns darbs jaunā jomā.
But if they don't start to get new people,
bet ja viņi nesāks iepazīt jaunus cilvēkus.
If they don't transition some of these roles to other people that they're doing.
Un ja viņi nedos citiem cilvēkiem jaunas lomas, ko darīt.
They will burn out.
Viņi izdegs.
Because research shows that you can only work for maybe a year outside of your area of spiritual giftedness.
Jo pētījumi rāda, ka jūs varbūt tikai gadu varat nostrādāt ārpus savas garīgās dāvanas jomas.
So I hope somebody is asking, well, how do I know if I'm working outside of my area of spiritual giftedness?
Un es ceru, ka kāds no jums padomāja, kā, lai es zinu, vai es darbojos savu garīgo dāvanu jomā.
The simplest way I can say it is what you're doing giving you energy?
Vieglākais veids, kā to noteikt, ir, vai tas, ko jūs darāt, dod jums enerģiju.
Are you excited about what you're doing?
Vai jūs esat priecīgs par to, ko jūs darāt?
Or is it draining for you?
Vai arī tas jūs izsūc?
When you go home after you finish it, do you say, man, that was so exciting, I want to do it again?
Vai ir tā, ka tad, kad jūs ejat mājās, jūs domājat, tas bija tik aizraujoši, es gribu to darīt atkal?
Or you say, man, I hope next Sabbath never comes.
Vai arī jūs cerat, ka nākamais sabats vispār nepienāks?
That's a pretty good gauge whether you're in your area of spiritual giftedness or not.
Tas ir diezgan labs veids, kā noteikt, vai jūs darbojaties savā jomā.
And so if you have the ability in your church context, maybe you try shifting some of your responsibilities.
Un ja jums ir iespēja, varbūt centieties dažas no savām atbildībām uzticēt kādam citam.
Try working in some different areas.
Pamēģiniet pastrādāt citā jomā.
So this is the idea that you need a lot of different things that people can try out easily.
Jums nepieciešams daudzas dažādas lietas, ko cilvēki varētu izmēģināt.
But unfortunately, what we do so often is we say, hey, I need you to do this position for the next year or next 2 years.
Bet diemžēl mēs parasti sakām, hey, man vajag, lai tu šo dari vēl gadu vai pat divus.
And then a couple of months in, the person says, I really don't like this.
Un pēc pāris mēnešiem cilvēks varbūt saka, man nemaz nepatīk to darīt.
But they feel stuck in that position for the next rest of the year.
Bet viņi jūtas iecelt šajā pozīcijā un viņi netiek ārā no tās vēl gadu.
So how much better would it be to say, hey, you know what, for the next 3 months or next 2 months, would you be willing to try this to see if it's something that fits well?
Un būtu daudz labāk, ja mēs teikt, hey, kā būtu, ja tu vēl divus vai trīs mēnešus pamēģinātu šo darbu, lai redzētu, vai tev tas patīk.
And the person can either come to you and say, "Man, I really like that. I enjoy that."
Un cilvēks var vai nu nākt pie jums un pateikt, "Hey, man ļoti patīk to darīt."
Or they can come to you and say, "Please, let me try something else. That was not for me."
Vai viņi var nākt un teikt, "Lūdzu, dod man kaut ko citu, es nevaru šo darīt."
And so then either way you can ask him a simple question. Well, what was it about it that you liked, or what was it about that that you did not like?
Un tad jebkurā gadījumā jūs varat viņiem pajautāt, kas bija tas, kas tev patika, vai kas bija tas, kas tev nepatika?
And they say, "Oh, pastor, leader, I really loved meeting new people."
Un tad viņi teiks, mācītāji, man ļoti patika satikt jaunus cilvēkus.
Or they said, "I really couldn't stand talking with new people every week."
Vai arī viņi teiks, es nevarēju izturēt runāt ar jauniem cilvēkiem katru nedēļu.
It's pretty clear that they might have certain spiritual gifts and other ones might be something different.
Visticamāk, viņiem var būt vienas garīgās dāvanas un kādam citam ir citas.
But the beauty is that all gifts are needed in God's church.
Bet lieliski ir tas, ka visas dāvanas ir vajadzīgas Dieva draudzē.
Every single gift.
Katra no tām.
And this is what we started out by looking at Ephesians chapter 4.
Un tieši tā mēs sākām, paskatoties Efeziešu 4. Nodaļu.
Is that everyone has the spiritual gifts for the building up of the church.
Tā mēs ieraudzījām, ka katram ir garīgās dāvanas, lai darbotos draudzē.
For doing the work of ministry.
Lai darītu kalpošanas darbu.
I want to speak just a little bit about the importance of vision.
Es vēl vēlos nedaudz parunāt par vīzijas nozīmību.
Vision is what enables people to rally behind something.
Vīzija ir kaut kas, kas palīdz cilvēkiem darboties.
I saw a picture the other day that was making fun of churches.
Es redzēju bildi, kura bija kā smieklīga animācija par draudzēm.
And it was a picture of a sanctuary where there was only a few people in a big sanctuary.
Un tur bija svētnīca, kurā bija tikai daži cilvēki, kur bija ļoti liela.
And then right next to it was a picture of the Apple store.
Un blakus tai bija Apple veikals.
When they were releasing a new iPhone.
Kur viņi izlaida jauno iPhone mobilo telefonu.
And the line was going down the street and around the corner.
Un rinda bija visas ielas garumā vēl ap stūri.
And any of you that have seen this, you know that this is true.
Un ja kāds no jums to ir redzējis, jūs zināt, ka tā ir patiesība.
I would imagine even here in the Baltic Union, but if not for sure in Europe in many places.
Arī šeit Baltijas Unijā es to varu iedomāties.
And this is the importance of vision.
Un tieši tāpēc vīzija ir svarīga.
Is that people feel a cultish following to Apple?
Ja cilvēki jūt, ka viņiem ir jāseko Apple.
Because it's very clear what they're about. It's very clear what they do.
Jo ir ļoti skaidrs, ko Apple dara.
Sometimes as a church it's not quite as clear what it is that we do.
Diemžēl reizēm draudzē nav tik skaidrs tas, ko mēs darām.
Sometimes it seems that we come together and it's about us worshiping God. Other times it seems about doing evangelism.
Reizēm šķiet, ka mēs nākam, lai pielūgtu Dievu, reizēm mēs nākam, lai evangelizētu.
Sometimes it feels about those of us that are already inside the church and we want to close the doors so that nobody new comes in. Other times it's about going out into the cities to reach new people.
Reizēm šķiet, ka mēs atnākam uz draudzi un aizveram durvis, lai neviens cits nevarētu jauns cilvēks ienākt, un reizēm mēs dodamies ārpus draudzes uz ielām, lai aicinātu citus.
And this is why it's so important to, as a local church, cast what your vision is.
Un tāpēc ir ļoti svarīgi, lai jūs savai draudzei varētu parādīt, kāda ir jūsu vīzija.
And that's what I love about this church building right here.
Un tieši tāpēc man patīk šī baznīca sēka.
Is that you have a worship service in this sanctuary?
Jums ir pielūgsmes kalpošana šajā.
You have a worship service downstairs.
Šajā daļā un arī lejā.
You have a worship service right over here.
Jums ir vēl viena telpa blakus.
That are all very, very different from each other.
Un visas šīs draudzes ir ļoti dažādas.
But if you're intentional about this vision that you have about reaching new people,
bet ja jūs esat aizrauti ar šo vīziju, kas jums ir, lai piesaistītu cilvēkus,
you understand that the Russian speaker you go and share Jesus with,
jūs saprotat, ka krieviski runājošais cilvēks, kuram jūs stāstāt par Jēzu,
is probably not going to go to the Corinth church.
Visticamāk neies uz Korintas draudzi.
They'll probably go to the Russian speaking church.
Bet visticamāk ies uz krievu draudzi.
Right, if you go and you reach a young person, maybe they're more likely to go downstairs.
Vai arī, ja jūs satiekat jaunieti, visticamāk viņi gribēs iet lejā uz Korintu.
And this is the beautiful thing about having multiple churches in a city or multiple different options that people can choose from.
Un tieši tāpēc ir lieliski, ka jums ir vairākas draudzes, no kurām cilvēki var izvēlēties.
And so one of my favorite things as a pastor
viena no manām mīļākajām lietām
is when a member leaves my church.
Ir ka tad, kad kāds draudzes loceklis aiziet no manas draudzes,
to go to another Adventist church in the same city,
un aiziet uz citu Adventistu draudzi tajā pašā pilsētā,
because they say I can use my spiritual gifts better in that context than I can in your church.
Jo viņi saka, ka es savus garīgās dāvanas varu izmantot labāk tajā draudzē nekā šajā.
And I say, perfect, that's what it's all about. Use your spiritual gifts wherever you can.
Un es saku, lieliski, tieši tā tam arī jābūt, izmanto savus dāvanas jebkur, kur vien tu vari.
Because the entire purpose of why we mobilize members for doing evangelism,
jo galvenais iemesls, kāpēc mēs mobilizējam draudzes locekļus evangelizācijai,
is not so that we can build this church right here.
Ir nevis, lai mēs varētu uzbūvēt un palielināt šo draudzi,
it's so that we can build God's kingdom.
Bet lai mēs varētu veidot un būvēt Dieva valstību.
I care much more about kingdom growth.
Man daudz vairāk interesē valstības izaugsme.
Than I care about my church growth.
Nekā man interesē šīs konkrētās draudzes izaugsme.
So I told you, and maybe those of you that are administrators especially will understand this.
Tātad it īpaši tie, kas ir mācītāji, noteikti šo sapratīs labāk.
I told you I did 11 evangelistic series my first year.
Es teicu, ka man pirmajā gadā bija 11 evangelizācijas sērijas.
8 months before the evangelistic series would start, I would go to the church and I would make a presentation.
8 mēnešus pirms šī pasākuma es devos uz draudzi un veicu prezentāciju.
And after the presentation, there was always two questions that were asked, always.
Un pēc prezentācijas man vienmēr uzdeva divus jautājumus.
The number one question?
Pirmais.
How much will it cost?
Cik daudz tas maksās?
They wanted to know how much it was going to cost the church to do evangelism.
Viņi gribēja zināt, cik daudz draudzei izmaksās evangelizācija.
And the number two question, always?
Un otrais jautājums vienmēr.
Who's going to get the baptisms?
Kurš kristīs cilvēks?
Is it going to be the church that you're doing the meetings in, or is it going to be the church that you're coming from?
Vai to darīs šeit mūsu draudzē, vai arī tajā draudzē, no kuras jūs nākat?
And it was this idea that even though we were both Adventists, we were both in the same city.
Un kaut arī mēs abi bijām adventisti draudzes.
It was us.
Vienā un tajā pašā pilsētā tie bijām mēs.
Versus them.
Pret viņiem.
And this is not healthy.
Un tas nav veselīgi.
And this is not good.
Un tas nav labi.
And members can see this very easily.
Un draudzes locekļi ļoti viegli to var pamanīt.
And so as leaders in whatever area of leadership you find yourself,
tāpēc kā vadītāji, vienalga kurā jomā jūs vadāt,
always worry more about kingdom growth,
vienmēr vairāk uztraucieties par valstības izaugsmi,
than your church growth,
nekā par jūsu draudzes izaugsmi.
And so one of the reasons why I mention this, especially in the area of millennials or postmoderns or those that are under the age of 30,
un viens no iemesliem, kāpēc to es to saku, jo cilvēki zem 30.
Not only do they need to be involved in meaningful ways in your church.
Viņiem ir nepieciešams ne tikai būt nozīmīgos veidos iesaistītiem jūsu draudzē.
But they actually need to be a part of developing the vision for your church.
Bet viņiem ir arī jāveido vīziju jūsu draudzē.
And I know this is a hard concept to understand.
Un es zinu, ka varbūt to ir ļoti grūti saprast.
Because I think one of the disconnects between moderns and postmoderns,
jo, manuprāt, viens no veidiem, kas atšķir modernu no postmodernā,
is the view of authority.
Ir veids, kā mēs apskatām autoritāti un to uztveram.
And many of those from the modern era will say, hey, you don't respect authority, young people.
Daudzi no modernā laikmeta teiks, jaunieši, jūs nerespektējat autoritāti.
But it's not that we don't respect authority, it's that it doesn't matter what your position is, it matters what you do.
Bet patiesībā nav tā, ka mēs nerespektējam autoritāti. Svarīgāk ir nevis tas, kādā pozīcijā tu esi, bet ko tu dari.
And so in my first seminar I had those that were administrators or pastors raise their hands.
Un tātad savā pirmajā seminārā es liku mācītājiem un vadītājiem pacelt rokas.
And I had those under 30 raise their hands.
Un es liku tiem, kuri ir zem 30 pacelt rokas.
And the idea that they could work together to do ministry.
Lai viņi varētu strādāt kopā, kalpojot.
Because I guarantee you, pastors and administrators, as you begin to work alongside with these young people,
jo mācītāji, es jums garantēju, ka tiklīdz jūs sāksiet strādāt kopā ar šiem jauniešiem,
both of you will have a much better understanding of each other, how each other thinks, how each other works.
Jūs daudz labāk sapratīsiet viens otru.
And this idea of respect or authority for you will grow exponentially because they're valuing that you're actually doing what it is that you're talking about doing.
Un šī izpratne par autoritātes cienīšanu mainīsies.
I can preach 1,000 sermons to my young adults that I work with.
Es saviem jauniešiem varētu norunāt 1,000 svētrunu.
And they may or they may not do anything with me.
Un viņi varētu kaut ko darīt ar mani, varētu arī neko nedarīt.
But the moment I ask one of my young adults, will you go along with me for a Bible study?
Bet brīdī, kad es jautāju, vai kāds no jauniešiem nāks ar mani uz Bībeles studiju?
And they're a part of it and they get to experience it and they get to ask questions afterwards.
Un viņi kļūst par daļu no tā visu un var uzdot jautājumus pēc tam.
They say, Pastor, when can I go again with you?
Viņi uzreiz teiks, mācītāji, kad es atkal varu iet ar jums?
When can we do this again?
Kad mēs varam to darīt atkal?
And so this is the beauty of being able to do things together in partnerships.
Un tas ir visskaistākais, ka mēs varam darīt lietas kopā.
And so many of you as pastors, you've taken your young people, your youth, your young adults, and you've said, hey, will you stand at the door and greet people?
Un tāpēc daudz no jums, kā mācītāji, var aicināt cilvēkus, lai viņi pastāv pie durvīm un sagaida cilvēkus.
Or hey, will you teach a children's Sabbath school class?
Vai arī, lai viņi pamāca bērniem sabatskolas.
Which is a very good start.
Kas ir ļoti labs sākums.
But it's not enough.
Bet ar to nepietiek.
How much better would it be if you were to say, hey, young people, come alongside me as we help to develop the vision for this church.
Būtu daudz labāk, ja jūs jauniešiem varētu teikt, hey, nāciet ar mani un kopā izveidosim vīziju šai draudzē.
And I guarantee you, you will see your young people light on fire.
Un es varu garantēt, ka jūs jaunieši iedegsies.
Because when they can rally behind the cause, and what better cause is there than the church?
Un ja viņi var sekot kādam mērķim, kas gan ir labāks par baznīcu?
They will tell their friends.
Viņi teiks saviem draugiem.
They will use their social media influence.
Viņi izmantos plašsaziņas līdzekļus.
They'll use their creativity to start working outside of what we normally do.
Un viņi izmanto savu radošumu, lai darītu to, ko mēs parasti darām.
I have a quote from the Review and Herald from July 9th.
Man ir citāts no
So it says the minister and the church members are tonight as one person in laboring for the building up and the prosperity of the church.
Mācītājiem un draudzei jāsavienojas kā vienam cilvēkam strādājot, lai veicinātu draudzes labklājību.
So the church member and the minister are to be one.
Tātad draudzes locekļiem un mācītājiem jābūt kā vienam.
It continues, it says, everyone who is a true soldier in the army of the Lord will be an earnest, sincere, efficient worker laboring to advance the interests of Christ's kingdom.
Ik katrs, kurš ir paties Dieva armijas zaldāts, būs paties efektīvs strādnieks, kas darbojas Kristus valstības interesēs.
Let no one presume to say to a brother who is walking circumspectly, you are not to do the work of the Lord, leave it for the minister.
Un lai neviens neuzdrošinātos savam brālim teikt, ka tu nevari darīt šo darbu, atstāj to mācītājiem.
Many members of the church have been deprived of the experience which they should have had because the sentiment has prevailed that the minister should do all the work and bear all of the burdens.
Daudzi draudzes locekļi ir bijuši atturēti no pieredzes, ko viņi būtu varējuši gūt, ja vien viņiem kāds nebūtu teicis, ka viss jāatstāj mācītājiem.
Either the burdens have crowded upon the minister, or he has assumed those duties that should have been performed by the members of the church.
Vai mācītāji parasti uzņemas tās nastas, kas patiesībā būtu jādara draudzē.
Says ministers should take the officers and the members of the church into their confidence and teach them how to labor for the master.
Mācītājiem vajadzētu iemācīt draudzes locekļiem, kā darboties kunga labā.
Thus the minister will not have to perform all the labor himself, and at the same time the church will receive greater benefit than if he endeavored to do all the work himself.
Un tā mācītājiem nav jāpadara viss darbs vienam pašam, un draudze iegūs daudz lielāku labumu nekā ja mācītājs būtu darbojies viens.
This is a powerful quote.
Šis ir ļoti spēcīgs citāts.
And you did a good job translating it. I know it's not easy to translate something that's not in your language written. Ways, simple ways of mobilizing members.
Vienkārši veidi, kā mobilizēt draudzes locekļus.
Literature is one of the best ways you can mobilize your members.
Literatūra ir viens no labākajiem veidiem.
I'm sure you have things that are translated into each of your three languages.
Es esmu pārliecināts, ka jums ir daudz literatūras pārtulkotas visās jūsu valodās.
Members are most of the time very willing to help distribute literature.
Un draudzes locekļi parasti ir ļoti atsaucīgi, lai izdalītu literatūru.
A second way is to actually do public evangelism.
Otrs veids, kā mobilizēt, ir tiešām veikt publisku evanģelizāciju.
Have large scale meetings because it's impossible the bigger you go to do it by yourself.
Jums jāveic liels sanāksmes, lai varētu to visu noorganizēt.
And so you actually force yourself to need other people.
Un tā jūs veidojat sev vajadzību pēc citiem cilvēkiem.
And I love the expression, many hands make light work.
Un man ļoti patīk izteiciens, ka daudzas rokas dara darbu vieglāku.
So again, I know our scale of ministry or my scale of ministry is very different from many of you.
Un es zinu, ka manas kalpošanas mērogs ir atšķirīgs no katras no jūsu kalpošanām.
But I've had evangelistic series where I've had almost 120 volunteers helping with the meetings.
Bet man bija evangelizācijas pasākumi, kur man bija apmēram 120 brīvprātīgo, kas palīdzēja.
I utilize people for music.
Un piemēram cilvēki, kur dāvana bija mūzika.
I utilize people for helping with food.
Es izmantoju arī cilvēkus, kur varēja palīdzēt ar ēdienu.
I utilize members to follow up with people.
Arī cilvēkus, kuri varēja uzturēt kontaktu ar cilvēkiem.
I have people that love doing Bible work there that they can follow up with Bible work.
Bija arī cilvēki, kuriem ļoti patika līdzdalīt Bībeli.
And one of the things that I love about public evangelism is that it's impossible for one person to do it all.
Un viena no lietām, kas man ļoti patīk publiskajā evanģelizācijā, ko nevar izdarīt viens cilvēks.
I've seen leaders that try.
Es esmu redzējis, ka līderi mēģina to darīt.
But it's not possible.
Bet tas nav iespējams.
And so take these principles in your context.
Tāpēc lūdzu, izmantojiet šos principus savā vietā.
And use them how you will.
Un izmantojiet tos tieši tā, kā jums izdodas.
And remember Jesus's model.
Un atcerieties Jēzus modeli.
He called his disciples.
Viņš sauca savus mācekļus.
He helped them get from the place where they were a novice.
Viņš palīdzēja viņiem nonākt no vietas, kur viņi bija iesācēji.
To an apprentice.
Līdz māceklim.
To a journeyman.
Līdz piedzīvojumu
māceklim. To a master.
Līdz profesionālim.
And then he gave them this great commission where they were to go and do the same thing that he had just done.
Un tad viņš deva viņiem lielo uzdevumu, kur viņš pats bija paveicis.
And these are some of the principles how I've found it's easiest to mobilize members.
Šie ir daži no principiem, kā, manuprāt, ir visvieglāk mobilizēt draudzes locekļus.
One of the slides that I had in here, but somehow deleted on accident.
Viens no slaidiem, kas man bija, bet ko es nejauši izcēsu.
As I said, the problem is never with your members.
Ir tajā teikts, ka problēma nekad nav jūsu draudzes locekļos.
The problem is always with you.
Problēma vienmēr ir jūsos.
As a leader, you're responsible for mobilizing your members.
Jūs kā vadītājs esat atbildīgs par savu draudzes locekļu mobilizāciju.
And I've heard many pastors say, well, you don't know my members.
Un daudz mācītāji man ir teikuši, tu nezini manus draudzes locekļus.
You don't know how lazy they are.
Tu nezini, cik slinki viņi ir.
You don't know how unwilling to work they are.
Tu nezini, cik ļoti viņi negrib darboties.
Maybe you just haven't found the right way to motivate them.
Varbūt jūs vienkārši neesat atradis pareizo veidu, kā viņus motivēt.
I was working in a church context.
Es strādāju draudzes kontekstā.
This is the last story that I'll share with you.
Un šis būs pēdējais stāsts.
And we were beating our heads against the wall, trying to figure out what in the world can we do to help these people work.
Mēs nekād nevarējām izdomāt, kā likt šiem cilvēkiem darboties.
And so I would do some of the things that we do. I would have cooking classes.
Un tad es izveidoju gatavošanas stundas.
I would do health-focused events.
Es rīkoju pasākumus, kuros runā par veselību.
I tried to do evangelism.
Es centos evangelizēt.
But only a few members would support and would help and would be a part of it.
Bet tikai daži no draudzes locekļiem palīdzēja.
So finally I just began to ask my members, what is something that you care about? What are you passionate about?
Un tad es sāku jautāt saviem draudzes locekļiem, kas ir tas, kas jūs interesē, ko jūs gribētu darīt?
And they said, we really want to be a part of our community. We really want to do something to make a difference in those lives of those people that are serving our community.
Un viņi teica, mēs gribam kaut ko darīt savā sabiedrībā.
So I said, what does that look like? How would you do that?
Un tad es jautāju, kā jūs to izdarītu?
And they came up with the idea themselves, all them.
Un viņi paši izdomāja idejas.
They said, what we need to do is we need to have a community appreciation day.
Un viņi izdomāja, ka viņiem jāizveido draudzes novērtēšanas dienu.
We need to invite the mayor to come.
Mums jāuzaicina mērs.
The police chief, the fire chief to come.
Arī policija un ugunsdzēsēji dienests.
And we just need to thank them.
Un mums jāpasaka viņiem, ka mēs viņus novērtējam.
And so I said, this isn't ministry. How is this ministry? This doesn't make any sense.
Kādā veidā gan šī ir kalpošana?
They said, no, pastor, this is what we want to do.
Nē, mācītāji, mēs tieši to gribam darīt.
And we want to give them gifts and we want to provide food for anyone that wants to come.
Un mēs gribam viņiem dot dāvanas un mēs gribam pabarot visus, kas grib atnākt.
And in that church context,
un šajā draudzē,
that was the most effective thing we ever did together.
Tā bija visefektīvākā lieta, ko mēs jebkad izdarījām.
We had 80% of our members that came out and helped.
Mums bija 80% draudzes locekļi, kas piedalījās.
And we had almost 600 people from the community that came.
Un uz šo pasākumu atnāca apmēram 600 sabiedrības
cilvēki. The mayor was there.
Tur bija mērs.
The police chief was there. The fire chief was there.
Policijas un ugunsdzēsēju dienas priekšnieki.
And as a church, all we did was say thank you for keeping our community safe.
Un mēs kā draudzi vienkārši pateicām viņiem paldies par to, ka viņi saglabā drošību
sabiedrībā. Here's a gift. Here's some food.
Šeit ir dāvanas, šeit ir ēdiens.
But after that event, everything we did from that point, we had more people that were interested in being a part of because we saw that we were connecting with what they were passionate about.
Un pēc šī pasākuma mums vienmēr bija vairāk cilvēki, kas gribēja darboties, jo viņi redzēja, ka mēs izdarījām to, ko viņi vēlējās darīt.
So if you want to mobilize your church members, figure out what their passions are.
Tātad, ja jūs gribat mobilizēt savus draudzes locekļus, izdomājiet, kas viņus aizrauj.
And see how you can blend that with evangelism.
Un izdomājiet, kā jūs to varat savienot ar evangelizāciju.
Which is simply sharing the good news of who Jesus is.
Un tas ir vienkārši veids, kā dalīties labajā vēstī par to, kas ir Jēzus.
There's a million different ways that this can be done.
Ir miljoniem dažādu veidu, kā to izdarīt.
But God will give you the wisdom to know how to do it in your country, in your church, in your context.
Bet Dievs dos jums gudrību, kā izdarīt to tieši jūsu draudzē, jūsu valstī.
Stand with me as I pray for you.
Piecelsimies, pielūksim.
Father God.
Debes Tēv.
We thank you so much for being here with us now.
Mēs pateicamies Tev par to, ka Tu esi ar mums šobrīd.
We thank you that your word still speaks life into our lives.
Mēs pateicamies, ka Tavs vārds dod mums dzīvību.
And God, I thank you so much for Jesus' example.
Un paldies Tev par Jēzus piemēru.
God, if I were you, I would not have chosen those disciples.
Ja es būtu Tu, es nebūtu izvēlējies šos mācekļus.
I would have looked for people that had their lives more together.
Es būtu meklējis cilvēkus, kuru dzīves ir sakārtotākas.
I would have looked for people that looked nicer, that smelled better.
Es būtu meklējis cilvēkus, kas izskatās labāk vai smaržo labāk.
But God, we can learn a lot from your example.
Bet Dievs, no Tava piemēra mēs varam mācīties ļoti daudz.
Help us to use those that you send us.
Lūdzu, māci mums izmantot tos, ko Tu mums esi sūtījis.
Whether they be our church members.
Neatkarīgi no tā, vai viņi ir mūsu draudzes locekļi.
Whether they be our teams that we work with.
Vai arī viņi ir mūsu komandas.
God, give us the wisdom to know how we can support them.
Dievs, dod mums gudrību, kā atbalstīt viņus.
How we can encourage them.
Kā mēs varam viņus iedrošināt.
How we can cast the vision for what is possible.
Un kā mēs varam dot viņiem vīziju, ko var par iespējamo.
And God, we thank you because this is something that you will continue to bless us with.
Un Dievs, mēs pateicamies par to, ka Tu turpini mūs svētīt.
Because we know that the harvest is plentiful.
Jo mēs zinām, ka rāža ir liela.
And we just need those that are already inside of the church to begin sharing their faith with those they come in contact with.
Ka mums vienkārši ir nepieciešams, lai draudzes locekļi dalītos savā ticībā ar tiem, ko viņi satiek.
God, I pray for each person that's in this room right now.
Kungs, es lūdzu par katru cilvēku, kas ir šajā telpā.
That you will bless them and you will make them effective in mobilizing those that they work with.
Lai Tu svētītu viņus, darītu viņus efektīvākus un palīdzētu viņiem mobilizēt cilvēkus sev apkārt.
Whether that be their church.
Neatkarīgi no tā, vai tā ir viņa draudze.
Whether that be their friends.
Vai viņi draugi.
Whether that be their family.
Vai viņi ģimene.
God, give them the wisdom to know how they can inspire others.
Kungs, dod viņiem gudrību, kā iedvesmot citus.
In Jesus' name.
Jēzus vārdā.
Amen.
Amen.